No. Yeah, field testing. Field testing. I can't go.
All right, we're going to get started. We're going to pick up with board announcements. Does anyone have any? They didn't have them working, they're not on?
None of them work. Nope. BOE unplugged, what can we do?
Got it.
There you go.
Yeah, it's bad.
Ours are working now.
Yeah, ours are working.
Welcome, hello, yeah, welcome to tonight's meeting, the second half. And we're going to start with board announcements. Evy.
Thank you.
If anyone bought tickets last week here at the Philharmonic at Lincoln Center, you made a big mistake. You should have come to the orchestra concert at the high school led by Mr. Glenn Regan. It was truly extraordinary. It was so professional, and I just have to tell you that I don't usually take notes at a concert, but the graduating students got up at the end of the concert to talk about Mr. Regan, and I had to write down some of the things that they said about him, because really, this is what children remember. This is what anyone remembers. They said, he not only made us better musicians, but he made us better people. He didn't just teach us music, but he taught us about life. He looks out for us as if we were his children and he was our father. What an extraordinary thing for young people to say about their teacher. So congratulations to the students on their tremendous efforts and excellence as musicians, and to Mr. Regan, who is an extraordinary teacher in our district.
I have two things. One is on April 30th, I, along with others, went to Stratford for their guest reader day. It was after, I know it's going to be discussed, the birthday wishes, which I heard great things about at Stratford. But going into the classroom is always fun, not just for us to read, but also to hear the questions that they asked. I'm excited about what they've learned. And I even mentioned just that one of the second graders said that they thought I was cool, which is, of course, something that I already knew, but it was nice to hear from a second grader as well. So the second thing is last year, I mentioned this as well, and I should have mentioned it last time, but May 1st was nationally recognized Law Day. And the American Bar Association every year has a theme. This year's theme was the Magna Carta, symbol of freedom under the law. Last year was American democracy and about American democracy and voting. And so, like last year, I would once again urge that to the extent that we can into our curriculum in some way incorporate that theme, whether it's in social studies or whatnot. The American Bar Association and other local and state bar associations have ideas to be incorporated into K-12 curriculum. So there are many different tools. The Magna Carta is a document that has come to symbolize one simple and enduring truth, one that both sides of the political aisle, in Albany in particular these days, but certainly in Washington, D.C. and locally, which is that no one, no matter how powerful, is above the law. And so piggybacking off last year's and this year's theme, I just want to remind everyone that a week from tomorrow is our school budget and candidate vote, and would encourage everyone to go vote. Obviously, I'm speaking to the choir. Those that are present are usually ones that do vote, but it is amazing to me how many people are impacted and how little people actually go and vote. And so this was my pitch every year. Please go and vote. It's so important. That's the way that community and citizens get your message out, that you're not happy with something or that you are happy with something. Every vote counts. So please go vote. That's my public service announcement.
Yes. And and a fine public service announcement it was, too. Couple of events that I attended in the past week or so. I went to see Shrek, the musical, which a number of board members also attended at the Matlin Middle School, and it was a phenomenal job. It always amazes me the depth of talent we have, kids at such young ages who are so poised and had such great presence and really gave real performances, entered the characters and so forth. And the sets and costumes, the whole thing was really phenomenal. It was a pleasure to watch. And somewhat less entertainingly, on Friday, Mr. Bitan, Dr. Lewis, and Dr. Mulieri and I attended a seminar on a preliminary analysis of the Education Transformation Act of 2015, presented by lawyers from Guercio & Guercio, Greg Guercio, Kathy Ahern, and Erin O'Grady Parent. It was a lengthy presentation. I think it was about 3 hours, so I'm not going to summarize it for you. But suffice it to say that there are more questions than answers, frankly, with this new iteration of the law, including, you know, things that the Act imagines is going to happen that couldn't really happen. But some of the most significant changes were changes in the termination of probationary teachers and principals, a redesigned APPR, probationary appointments, changes to probationary appointments and tenure awards, and school intervention, which has to do with the concept of receivership. And I won't even begin to go into the many, many ways in which this causes far more complications than it solves. But interesting times ahead. And I believe that is it. Anything you wanted to add to that? No?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to steal anyone's thunder because I see someone else is going to talk about birthday wishes and the coding night, but I'll give my take on them. The past few years, Stratford Road has held an event called the Empty Bowls Festival, where they raised over 5,000 pounds of food for Island Harvest. And this year, they decided to do something different. And they found out about a group called Birthday Wishes, which collects party items, decorations, juice boxes, all different things to help children who are in homeless shelters celebrate birthdays. And it's really a worthwhile event that the entire Stratford community was a part of. That was my favorite part of both of their events that they hold. Every single grade, every single student is a part of it, and they each have a role in collecting the goods, boxing it up. Every class has a box. I actually brought a box from us, so we were represented. And they go, they make birthday cards. They send us an invitation, a handwritten invitation. It says, come to our events. We hope you can help us help other kids. And that's really what it's about. You know, they do a lot of work at Stratford teaching the kids to think of others, and this is just one part of it. Should I do coding? I'll give you my take on the coding event. Hopefully I won't steal what you were going to say. On the same evening, I attended the coding event that was held at the high school, and it was run by Ms. Girosh and Christian Bowen, I believe. And it was really well organized. When the families got there were about 70, 80 families in attendance when I was there, I think. And they went into the LGI and they saw a presentation about coding and technology in the district, and then they broke off into groups by ability into the different computer labs in the high school. And they each got a one-on-one tablet to work with, so it was really a hands-on evening of doing coding. And everyone really seemed to appreciate the opportunity to get hands-on, parents with their children doing the coding, and Jill did a great job with that. And that's it.
I just want to say that I think when we had kicked off the hour code in the fall, we had so many families send us emails and thank you notes for actually introducing computer coding K through 12. And then I think that night, with the number of families that attended, on probably one of the nicest summer, spring nights to come out, and it was parents and students coding together and learning computer programming. We had many parents who were in the field, as well as parents that aren't in the field, and said, wow, this really, I can do this. We even had some grandparents come out with their grandchildren, and their children taught the grandparents how to do it. So it was a really exciting night. Plainville Bethpage is also going to kick off an event for Nassau County School Districts on our Hour of Code, and our theme for this spring's event was Catch a Code, and Nassau County is copying our theme, and it's going to be Catch a Code throughout the island. So you can be proud of our teachers and that did this. So
yeah, I'm just really going to reiterate basically what everybody said about Legally Blonde, Shrek, the high school. Oh my God, it was the concert was just beyond all belief. And it's a tribute to really, and a thank you to all of our taxpayers who come out and do support the arts, because there's so many school districts where they have been cut or minimized, and they're really not even considered of that importance anymore. And I just really want to stress that it is just unbelievable what our staff and our students do, and our parents who come in and volunteer to help, like Mary, who comes in every year, makes a costume. Her kids have been long gone from the school, and it's just a thank you to everyone who participates, because it is something so unbelievable when you're watching it. You cannot believe that these are just kids. They're not professionals.
All right, and that brings us to superintendent announcements, if there's anything left to tell about.
Not much, except that I was honored to have been asked to attend the Learning Summit this past Thursday.
I know. Last week,
and it was by invitation only. It was a 200-seat auditorium, and we listened to 9 hours of testimony around the APPR. And had the opportunity to ask questions of the experts and the various people. I have to say, of all the groups, and there were 5 stakeholders who presented, we started with the superintendents first, followed by principals, some experts, teachers, parents, and school boards. We ended with school boards. The most impressive group were the parents. They were, first of all, came from all over the state. And really, one of the parents said to the commissioner and the Board of Regents, frankly, I have to tell you that I make a decision on what's up for my child. And when things are far away from my child, they don't mean a lot to me. So Board of Regents, you're far away from my child. Commissioner, you're far away from my child. She even said, superintendents, you're far away from my child. But my teacher and my child, that's what I... And so she made the most poignant speech about the ludicrous of how ludicrous the testing regime is. And I think of the entire day's 9 hours of testimony, nothing brought it home more than this really sane parent who just said, you guys are so far removed from my child. You can't make a decision for my child. And I'll remember that very much so. It was a very, I was honored to have been there, and I think I learned a lot from it. Let's see what they do with it. I truly, truly do believe that we will have to have, I have to believe that there has to be a change in the way the tests are configured. The experts that the state brought in, one of them said there's a 50% error embedded in the value-added model. That is, they assign a growth score to teachers that has a 50% error in it. That's equivalent to tossing a coin. So that's what we assign a growth. We assign teachers a score, and their whole lives depend on this score. And there's a 50% error. This is their expert that they brought in. So it was a very, and that's on record. That's on the record. So there, I know the Board of Regents heard that and have to take caution with that.
So Dr. Lewis, it really begs the question, if you heard testimony like this, then why will they won't put the why will they not put the tests on hold or other, you know, APPR on hold until they have some restructuring and they change what is wrong with the testing and everything?
I mean, it sounds logical, but there is a 3012C that we're living under and 3012D that we're moving to July 1, which are the two pieces of legislation. So I don't know what they will do. I think the value-added model, which they use to assign growth, is buried, absolutely buried. After last Thursday, they couldn't possibly use that for any, I mean, their own experts are telling them it's no good. So, you know, if you were to bring a 3028 action, that's all you'd need to do is replay that tape that says it's 50% error involved in the assigning of the score. So I think that those that testimony is going to come back to haunt them, because the experts that they brought in really refuted, for the most part, except for Tom Kane. He's the only one who works for Gates, so that's not a surprise. He's the only one that supported, and he really didn't support the testing. He spoke about the observation, and all he did, he said the outside observer, which is part of 3012C, is much more valid. That's his work at Harvard. He says a second observation done by an outside observer is far more reliable than a second observation done by a principal. I don't happen to agree with them, because I believe my principals know the teachers, and there are other things besides just that, you know, being in that classroom for 45 minutes. But he never spoke about the testing. He only spoke about observations. It's as if he came just for that particular reason. So it was interesting. What's even more interesting is to look at the work that they've written, which is what, in order to be in that room, I did my homework. I read all their articles to see what they were thinking, you know, expecting great wisdom. There's no great wisdom there. I could have been the expert. I really do. I have friends who could have been better experts, honestly. But, you know, look, it's always an honor to be in the room. That's how I see it in my life. It's to be in the room, to be able to give input, and I'm honored by that.
So. I just hope they listen.
I hope they do.
Budget hearing and student recognition, we did upstairs, so we're up to 3.3, which is field testing. Just as a little background, as you know, last year we were presented with field tests, and after a debate, the board voted and we sent the 3 through 8 field tests back to the state as blank, I guess the best way to say it, not administered. We did administer the region's field test. So it's come up again. You know, they're going to be happening sometime in March, so June.
May 26th.
So we thought it would be right that we had a little discussion on the floor amongst ourselves about this issue, so the public can know where we stand. Anyone? Ginger?
I did not support the field testing. I just feel that our kids are tested. They are over-tested. And again, it's a Pearson type of thing. Things are embedded in all different types of tests that our kids take. And I just think there comes a point in time that if we take any stand, this is one that I have to do. I cannot support doing the field testing again this year.
So, there you go. A lot of conversation's been going on, some inside, though much of it outside this boardroom, about testing. And regardless of what side of the fence you are on with what has commonly been referred to as the opt-out movement, the issue about field tests, I think, is much different. Last year when we spoke about this, I stated my own personal belief that I think there is a value to tests. I think something that most of us, well, all of us agree. including statewide standardized tests. The value comes from, among other things, tests that accurately measure a student's knowledge and understanding of curriculum, but also the value comes from tests where the results and the data are provided to teachers to inform instruction. If the standardized test is the product, then the field tests are product development. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the product development. Here, you have creators of standardized tests that are using our students to test out or field possible questions for use on future exams. For what I understand to be largely for financial and other business reasons, though certainly not from an educational standpoint, the way that these test creators are doing it is not to, as Ginger said, embed the questions within actual exams that count, which in my view would be a better way to develop a product. Rather, they're using them as standalone field tests. When you embed the questions in tests that count, students don't know which ones count and which ones don't. If you don't do that, if students know the field tests don't count in any way, for any purpose, I think there's little, if any, motivation for students to take them as seriously, and certainly because there's no consequences. This, in and of itself, in my opinion, leads to unreliable data, and you can only point to that infamous talking pineapple question that came from a standalone field test, as I understand. So correct.
But in order for them to embed all of the questions, the test would be double the length.
Or they would need additional versions, which doesn't extend the length of the test. I am concerned, like Ginger mentioned, with the increased amount of this standalone field testing and field testing in this regard. Regardless of the reason, at least anecdotally, we're hearing increased stress on students. Objectively, we're seeing loss of classroom time that I think would be better used to educate the students. I understand the other side of the equation as well. I understand better questions lead to better tests, that exposing children to examples of questions also may help them for test taking in the future and instruction, but we're talking about standalone tests, particularly these ones that are given in late May and June that really aren't there to inform instruction or help the student in any way. And so I see little value to these field tests. At least that's how I'm viewing it. I'm trying to look at both sides. Again, I view this as a very different issue than the standardized tests that do count for whatever they're worth. But I certainly would support returning the field tests not administered as well.
I have to say I agree with both of the sentiments already expressed, and I'm surprised I do, but when I think about it, you know, I think I drank the Kool-Aid for a while and believe that, you know, if our kids took the test, that it would be practice for them, but now I think their teachers can give them practice tests. And if we let them take the field test, that we'd have better questions, and that didn't seem to happen this year, and people administered field tests last year. So I'm not confident that field tests will really improve the test, even though I think that was our hope last year. I'm not sure that happened. But if anyone has any doubt, they just have to look at what's going on in Albany. The Board of Regents had before them a proposition to mandate that schools administer the field tests, and they decided to table the motion, and they didn't act on it. And then more recently, our state legislature, the Education Committee, I think it was headed by Senator Flanagan, introduced a bill that would not require schools to take the test. So if our own leaders in Albany are really recognizing that there's a problem with the tests, and time is the enemy. Time's always been our enemy. There's not enough time in the day to do everything we want to do. I just don't see any benefit for the kids, for the school district, for the teachers, and I don't want to waste our students' time doing that.
I'm not going to repeat everything that was said. I agree with everything that was just said.
Comment. And also, by doing the what Flanagan has asked for, what the Board of Regents asked for was $8.4 million to create more state tests, to create more versions of the tests. And by doing that, they can not increase the length of the test, but by doing that, they can then subsequently release the questions, because there would be so many more questions in the pool of questions, but they don't want to spend $8.4 million. And the Board of Regents asked the governor and the legislature in the budget to put it in, and they chose not to. Now they're thinking about it and introducing a bill because they got pressure from parents and unions, but they had the opportunity to do that in the budget, and they didn't. So, you know, but the other thing I just want to mention was about the ability to then release the questions, because there'll be so many more questions.
Amy, I'm going to jump on that. I think if they really believe that they wanted better tests, the best way to get better tests is make them transparent. Let the community, let teachers see them, let them see what every kid does on the test. Until they're willing to do that, it tells me they don't believe in the tests, because they know they won't stand up to public scrutiny, because they know they're crap. And they won't even invest $8.4 million to make them better. So that tells me you won't put your money where your mouth is, but you'll torture kids, you'll torture teachers, you'll torture a whole system, you'll threaten us with our aid. And my answer is take these tests and shove it. I think we should still do the Regents ones. But as far as the grades 3 through 8, send them back.
Okay, then. I come at this a little bit differently, although I love the 1970s reference you just threw in there. Because, you know, I'm somebody who's really, really not anti-data, and I know that there are plenty of, you know, standardized tests that are not released to the public. I'm thinking about IQ tests, which are things that are never, ever transparent. The problem that I have, and I've really been struggling with this one, because I didn't think we should send the field test back last year, and, you know, mostly because of our position as a board. But the thing that I kept coming back to is these tests are, you know, laughably bad, and apparently the results are no better than a coin toss. And if you have a product that's that poor, I'm not sure that sending out another bunch of field tests is going to make that much of a difference. You know, that's the piece that I've really been struggling with, is do I believe that the tests are going to get better because of, you know, these field tests? And I think, you know, part of, I'm not sure why Pearson produces such a terrible product, but the whole sort of, my guess is it's probably somewhat more complicated than that, but, you know, the fact that it's this huge sort of monopoly with all these tentacles, there's, you know, and that they have textbooks designed to help students do better on their tests, you know, I don't really see, frankly, that there's anything really built in to develop better tests. It is to perpetuate their system, but not, you know, I don't see that it's going to make a difference, frankly. So,
you know, our country's really been in civil unrest for quite a while, and we watch the news and we see what's happening, but we're also in educational unrest. It's just not New York. When you watch across the states and you start to read what's happening and how people are, you know, who's not doing the Common Core, who is, what they're taking away, albeit AP social studies because it's too left, taking away AP Lit because it's too far left wing, and you start to see how education is changing in our country, and people are changing the way kids learn. Education is something that challenges kids, but it's also creativity. It's also what goes on in a classroom that's exciting. I think all of us can remember something really exciting that happened in a classroom. Today, you can't stop what you're doing to talk about what's happening in this country today, what's happening in other worlds, because everything is so geared to the kids having to take a test or what's happening. And then you're judged on it. No matter what we want to say, people look and see who got higher scores and what districts are ahead and all this. And I think we have to start to take education back and start to talk about, this is public schools. We want to educate all of our children. We want the ability to have Renaissance kids and to see good things happening. And when you have to sit and hear at a conference that 50% is flawed or it's a toss or something, you begin to say, what's it all really about? And it's that the people who are in education are the ones who are not the ones who are doing the tests or figuring out how it should be administered and everything else. And our governor is just so hell-bent on always finding flaws with the public school systems instead of looking at the pride he should have over our accomplishments. He just takes it away. And it's really just a sad commentary of what we're going through.
So as long as we're dumping on this whole system, which, you know, I'm certainly not against. One of the things I struggle with is that I do feel that data can be important. You know, I sort of came to all that. This is more personal than I usually get in these meetings, but I sort of came to be so involved in education issues because my child had special needs. And evaluations and looking at that data were very, very important in helping to develop her education. It wasn't the whole thing. I get those little reports, and there'd be lists of numbers that were supposed to define my kid. They didn't. There was a whole child behind that. But it was something that was important in helping to structure her education. But again, those were tests that I had some faith in, that they were supposed to be doing what they claimed to do. To have these tests, which supposedly were developed to help guide instruction, and then use those in these ways to, you know, flog schools and teachers, you know, is just so completely a wrong-headed use of data that I'm really struggling with this because, in general, I don't think tests per se are bad, and I think they're important, you know, part of education, but, you know, not when they're being this grossly distorted.
Yeah, thank you. I agree with my colleagues that I think we should administer the Regent field tests. However, the other tests, I don't believe, have the validity or the impact we thought they would in changing the standardized tests for the better. I think this is truly just a benefit to Pearson, who are using our students as an unpaid labor force. I can't explain it any other way. You did a much better job with your words. An unpaid labor force. When field testing was embedded in regular tests, as they are in the ACTs, the SATs, all the other tests, that's a whole different story than the separate tests that they now wanted to administer after giving the high-stakes tests to the children, which were quite lengthy. So I too will raise my hand not to give those tests to the children and to do just the Regents.
All right.
We're just having our discussion.
Yeah. Well, I guess I want to hear what Ms. Giresh has to say before I say my next comment.
I just wanted to provide some data for you.
There was a survey taken of 36 school districts, whether to administer the field tests or whether they would be or would not be administering the field tests. So 78% of the districts, out of 36 districts, 78% said yes, they are administering them, and 22% are not administering them. And for our district, again, we're assigned which field test. So we have physics and living environment at the high school and algebra at POB Middle School and Matlin. And we definitely have grade 3 math constructed response for Pasadena, but I can't be certain of the other three elementary schools at this point in time.
Parkway had two.
Parkway, when I look online, it says 3 and 4 ELA and math for grade 4. But when I'm looking online, that says 2014. So, again, I can't be certain that that's accurate. So what I know to be certain is the ones I just presented to you.
So the only elementary one is Pasadena, third grade?
Find online, yes, because they list which districts, what county, blah, blah, blah. So, again, unless they just labeled the document 2014 and it's really 2015, which can happen from time to time.
Very accurate. Same level of accuracy.
So I think procedurally I understand the way to do this is to make a motion to amend our agenda to include an additional new business item with the following motion: to have the Plainview Old Bethpage School District return field tests for grades 3 through 8 to return them not administered.
Well, the 8th grade one is algebra. So
right, 8th grade you have to say math in ELA.
Say math in ELA.
Yeah.
Algebra can overlap.
Math and non-regents grades 3 through 8 field tests. Return not administered. And Gene, I'm sure, could clean up exactly that English in a way that makes sense when you read it.
That's
all we're doing is adding it to new business so that it's those in the public that want
to.
Yep. And anybody that wants to comment during public participation, knowing that it was on, but before we make a vote, at least there's the ability for people to do that.
All those in favor?
You're voting just to add it to a new business.
Add this to new business.
Yeah.
And then we'll.
Sure.
All right.
Which brings us to participation.
District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall 1. State their name and address, and 2. Indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights of due process, or those of others could be in some way violated. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. Floor is open.
Okay, Lori, let's begin. 29 Diamond, you know my address? 29 Diamond Drive, okay. So there's been a lot out in the public right now about children being lured into cars or what's going on in our neighborhood now with the district email that came out, I think, today about some new local residents that we have in our neighborhood. My request is that the Board of Ed consider revising our current transportation policy that elementary age children are allowed to get off a bus if there's not a single adult at that bus stop. I don't think that children should be getting off if there's not a recognizable adult there. I know we all tell our own children our own rules, but it scares me to think that by accident a child goes home on the school bus instead of the Y bus one day because their schedule is erratic, and they get home and there's no one there. And that child is now standing in front of their house for an unknown amount of time. And, you know, with all these things, it's too late after something happens to say, well, maybe we should have revisited that. So that's my request, is that maybe we can revisit that policy in the interest of safety.
Thank you.
Good evening. Jacques Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive in Plainview. And looking over the routine business, I'd like to hear the board's discussion on 8.2, a contract for additional transportation, 8.3, the award of a bid for the skylights at Matlin, 8.7, the construction inspection and testing, 8.8, AIA contracts for the POB middle school track resurfacing. I think from what I've been able to observe, there's work going on at POB Middle School, and this, it looks like this might be an ex post facto resolution. I'd like to hear the discussion. I also want to hear about 8.14, which is the Stratford Road School donation. And under new business, I trust that the board will be doing their deliberations in public. I'm particularly interested in 11.4, the resolution of commencement of the litigation, 11.6, the resolution for participation in the government efficiency plan. I also note that next week we have an election for board members. And I want to wish all of the candidates luck, and I hope that their campaigns will be positive rather than negative, and that we also will be voting on, as Dr. Lewis mentioned, the budget, the expenditure from the capital reserve plan, and the establishment of a new capital reserve. And I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Wolfner.
Anybody else?
Good evening. I forego my dinner to come here because I feel very strongly about the letter I received from the Congress of Teachers. I'm a POB graduate, class of 1960.
You have to say your name.
Oh, my name is Louise Tenebra, spelled T-I-N-E-B-R-A. Due to the fact that my youngest child, daughter, is disabled, I have an 8-year-old child in my home. My husband and I are taking care of him. This idea of taking away the kindergarten center is asinine. It is not thought through thoroughly, and I think it's a very bad idea. Having a kindergarten center is wonderful. I realize that most of the children in this school district have gone to preschool and are able financially to send their children to preschool, but there are very few that have never gone to school before. And there is a separation issue with children, and it's good to have the children together. And I wish you would reconsider in doing this. Because according to this letter, it does not sound like a sound idea. I want to thank you very much for my time, and I hope you would take it under consideration. That's all I have to say, and I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Lauren Saxteen, 19 Whitlock Street. I just want to thank you for putting up for discussion tonight and for a vote for the administrating of the field tests. I don't think that these tests are going to give parents, teachers, and administrators what's really needed, especially without the transparency. So I hope you vote tonight to send them back and give these kids a little bit of a break that they deserve. Thank you.
All right. That brings us to routine business. Do we have a motion for routine business? Evie? Ginger? Any holds, separations, discussions? Don't we vote first? Last time. All in favor? All right. Sue, you want to go over Jacques' items? And
yes. 8.2, contract for additional transportation for a middle school student to Herrick School District. 8.3, skylights were awarded to High Grade. 8.7, construction inspections and testing was awarded to J.C. Broderick. 8.8, the track resurfacing. The award was bid at was approved at the Board of Ed meeting of April 13th. Stratford Road donation is for box tops for education. And the new business is commencement of litigation personnel issue.
Is being accepted tonight, but the bids were awarded prior to this.
And now the board is voting on
the contract.
The contract.
Correct. But that's the procedure.
Are you saying that the contract was starting to work without a contract?
I don't know if they started work,
well,
but
yes,
if,
they did.
For the actual resurfacing.
Well, he's the asphalt.
Yes.
Right?
That part of the work hasn't started yet. But the bids were awarded to that contractor, and then we have to settle on the contract. Contracts do take a while to be drawn up.
And then actually 11.1, I'm sorry, the government efficiency plan is a resolution to be part of a multi-district plan with Farmingdale as the lead district.
Now, I was just going to say we accepted two donations tonight. One, Ms. Maddie already mentioned about the box tops for education from Stratford Road, so we should thank the parents who collect them and send them in because, it, you know, that is a fund that the schools do use that's important. And the other one was the Asia Society gave us their Confucius grant, which helps support our Chinese program, so we should thank them for that as well.
Thank you all for the donation. New business. Resolution for appointment of officers for the May 19, 2015 annual meeting, budget vote, and election. Ginger? Debbie? Discussions? All those in favor? Do I have a motion for additional staff development proposals? Seth? Evie? Discussions? All those in favor? All right. Motion for curriculum writing 2014-15. Ginger? Emily? Discussions? All those in favor? Resolution of commencement of litigation. Seth? Evie? Discussions? All those in favor? All right. Resolution for proposed staff development courses. Ginger? Emily? Discussion? All those in favor? And finally, 11.6, resolution for participation in the government efficiency plan. Emily? Ginger? Oh, do it this side. Emily? Evie. I'll try to balance it out. The lead district is going to be Farmingdale. Not up to it yet.
You kind of went through it quickly. Just for the record, I just want to make a comment about 11.5, the staff development courses. I really am pleased with the list of courses that we were presented with. They really aligned with our goals. A lot of them speak to teaching the whole child. There's one about mindfulness, which I really appreciate. And they were just really a well thought out, comprehensive list of staff development for 15-16. So I just want to make that comment for the record.
Good job. All right, so now we're on the resolution for participation in the government efficiency plan. Did we do anything with that yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so any discussions? All those in favor?
Do we have a first and a second? Yeah.
Okay, so next is the what's been added, 11.7, the motion to send back the field test K through 8 non-regents.
Yeah.
Right, do I have a motion for that? We'll administer the Regents ones. Seth? Debbie? Any further discussions? All those in favor? It's kind of easy. Finally, a motion to go into executive session for matters of negotiations. Ginger? Evie? All those in favor? All right, just want to remind everyone, tomorrow night is Meet the Candidates night, and the vote is on the 19th. Thank you very much.